Yesterday, upon the stair, I met a man who wasn't there.
Hello? Can you find me?
He wasn't there again today. I wish he'd go away.
I'm behind you. I'm right behind you.
Last night I saw upon the stair a little man who wasn't there.
Don't be scared. I just want to play a game with you.
He wasn't there again today. Oh, how I wish he'd go away.
Hey there, pod people. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production. I'm your host, Mandy, and I am super excited to have the paranormal couple on with us tonight, Cody and Satori. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, Mandy. Thanks for having us on.
Oh, no, thanks for coming on. I've been really excited to be able to sit down and talk to you guys here for, well, since you agreed to do this. So I hope
good.
It won't be too boring for you. I'm sure.
No,
probably...
it's a pleasure.
Same old questions. You know how that goes.
No,
all
we
right,
enjoy
so,
it.
Tell me all about you guys. How'd you get into this fun field? Anything you want to share?
All right.
Well, that's a big topic.
I know,
right?
It is. Well, I'll start off. I'll let Satori talk for herself. So, again, my name is Cody. I got into the field at a pretty young age. I grew up in a haunted house, and that definitely opened up the door for me. Like most investigators today, you're either in this because you had an experience, or you're in it because you were just interested in it. Most people had an experience. I had a big one in the house I grew up in that scared the heck out of me, but you know, definitely left me intrigued. So as I got older, I started looking into what this, you know, whole ghost thing was all about. And the more I read, the more it interested me. So when I was finally old enough, I think I was 16 or 17 years old, when I found a team that would actually take me on. And likewise, you know, I could totally understand why any team wouldn't take on a 16-year-old, but I just wanted to learn hands-on with the equipment and everything else. And
sure.
And finally, I found a team that would do that. So that was about 11, 12 years ago now. And I ended up, that team ended up breaking up. And I ended up finding out that TAPS was based in the next state over. And they ended up approaching me and saying that they liked the way I investigated. And I ended up joining that team. And then that's when Tori comes in. I met Satori through TAPS. And I'll let her tell her story.
Yes. So,
oh, girl. Yeah, you didn't have a choice.
I didn't. No, I guess paranormal was a family business before I was even a thought. My name's Satori Hawes, for anybody listening. My dad is Jason Hawes, who founded TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society, in 1990. And he is the star of the show that everybody knows as Ghost Hunters. So I guess it was something I grew up seeing my dad do every day, and I wanted to be just like him. So as soon as I was able to walk, I was holding a flashlight trying to investigate my house, hoping dad brought home ghosts. And that's really what pushed me in the field. I wanted to be like dad and help people.
So currently, we still investigate with TAPS from time to time. We appear on Ghost Hunters, and we also own a museum full of about 400 haunted items. And then when we're not busy with all of that stuff, we're caretakers of the Conjuring House for usually a week out of every single month. So
Gosh. That's nothing. That's, you know, that's weekend stuff. God, guys, that's crazy.
We definitely
all right,
stay
so
busy.
We just threw our life story at you. I know.
I have so many questions. I don't know where I want to start first. Let's talk about your museum, because did you meet the Warrens? Is that how you kind of got interested in haunted collections?
Yeah. So I had met Lorraine. I didn't get to meet Ed. I had met Lorraine, and we're still friends with the Warren family today.
Okay.
We're extremely good friends with John Zaffis. And of course, you know, they had definitely given us a lot of, you know, tips and way to handle things. How I got interested in haunted objects. The first item that I had ever heard of an inanimate object becoming, you know, having some sort of paranormal interaction with something was actually in the house I grew up in. My grandparents lived on the first floor of this house, and they were Italian Americans, extremely Catholic, and the topic of ghosts wasn't, you know, the first thing on their mind, to say the least. And
Sure.
I remember every night I would go downstairs to say goodnight to my grandparents, and usually they would be getting ready for bed in their bedroom. And I would walk in, and sometimes I'd walk in on my grandfather praying to this portrait of Christ that he brought, that his grandfather brought over from Italy.
Oh, wow.
Decades ago. So an extremely old painting, and he would pray to this thing every night, just like his grandfather did, and his father did. And I would always back away and wait till he was finished praying. And then afterwards he would call me over and say, you know what, that painting up there especially, goes, when my grandfather was on his deathbed, he was extremely scared to pass away, and it hung in his bedroom. And one night, he claimed the painting started talking to him while he was praying and saying that everything was going to be okay. He had nothing to worry about. He was going to have a peaceful transition. And he was at peace after that whole experience. And he died peacefully. And then once he passed away, it was passed down to his son, and then to my grandfather. And
Wow.
when my grandfather was on his deathbed, he had a very similar experience with that painting, and claimed that it talked to him and said his mom was coming to get him. And
Wow.
then once he passed away, the painting was gifted to me, and thank God it hasn't talked to me yet, because I'm not ready to go anywhere. But that was the first, my first, you know, I guess, toe in the water when it comes to haunted objects. And the rest of the collection kind of started by accident, because we would go on Taps cases, and we were the ones that, I guess, were picked to bring some of the stuff home.
And we started talking about it on social media, and everybody started coming out of absolutely nowhere all around the world saying that, I'm dealing with this. I can you investigate this for me? We have a lot of these from different cases we've done, and we've been nicknamed the foster home for haunted objects because you're always
Oh.
allowed to have your item back. We're just taking care of it when you feel like you can't have it in your home anymore. So,
Oh, okay.
yeah.
But till this day, nobody's wanted their object back.
I can't imagine why, especially a doll. So, Satori, how does your dad feel about you doing this? Is he cool with this, or is he just like, kid, what are you doing?
Well, my dad is very much pave your own way. My dad started something and he's like, take your own branch and do your own thing. My dad is very much not into the haunted object side of the paranormal. But he's very respectful towards what I do. He's like, hey, you do your own thing. It doesn't have to be what I would do. And I guess that's how we look at it. He's always told me to just be my own person. So I guess that's good dad of the year
Yeah.
there.
Well, yeah, what he says to your face, I'm sure it's probably different behind closed doors. Like, oh,
I'm
what the hell is
sure.
she doing? God, you know. I am dying to know about some of the odd objects. I was actually looking at the picture you have on your website. And do you have something from the Jonestown Massacre?
We do.
We
We
do.
do. So we
Can
have
you
a whole
talk about
dark
that?
room. Yeah, we have a whole dark room of items that is separated from the rest of the items. And the reason why we do that is we don't want to mix the energies, if that makes sense. We
Sure.
believe most
Yeah.
of the items we have, and we don't believe every object we have is haunted or has an attachment. But most of the things we do have, that seem to be, you know, acting up, seem to be things that just people loved in life, and they just kind of check
Yeah.
in once in a while in death. And sometimes they don't like their new owners when a lot of this stuff ends up in secondhand stores, and that's what we believe the reason why things act up.
Sure.
But the dark room is, you know, some really dark stuff.
It is. It's what we believe could be, a negative inhuman or a negative energy or just evil in some form that we kind of keep away from the rest of the items.
Thank you for saying that instead of just going straight to demonic.
It's
That
not
drives
always a
me crazy. I
demon.
know it's very rarely a demon. That's what kills me about this stuff.
Yes, exactly. So can we talk about
Yeah,
Jones?
yeah. So we do. We have a few cups that have been recovered from the Jonestown site,
With the Flavor Aid stains in them.
Oh my
And
God, really? One
yes.
or two
Two.
unopened packets
Oh.
of the Flavor Aid stuff. And you know, we don't believe that there's demons attached to that or anything. And
Yeah.
we didn't, you know, seek out any of these items. These items were, there is a, you know, a market or people that are interested in collecting this type of thing. And most of the stuff that's in that room that pertains to cults and things like that,
Yeah.
somebody wanted that in their collection and then started feeling strange things coming from it, and then sent it to us, which is how we
Oof.
got the Jonestown stuff. That came from a gentleman who helped with the cleanup of Jonestown,
Oh gosh. He actually kept some of the cups.
kept some of the cups, and you
Oof.
know, And a lot of there's so many stories that we hear where people feel this magnetic pull to do something that you probably normally shouldn't do, whether it's purchasing a clown when you're afraid of clowns and pumping this out of you telling you to do it, or telling you to save two cups from the Jonestown Massacre. And then something strange starts to happen. So we don't believe there's like a demon or a spirit per se attached to these things. We just
energy.
when subjects are around traumatic events, sometimes we believe, just like a residual spirit, it can travel some of
It's
that energy.
interesting you brought that up, actually. It's cool that you kind of looked into it a little bit. A lot of people get emotional around those cups when they see them. So,
I'm an empath, so I probably would as well. That's well, I our podcast is also, we do true crime as well, and I saw that and I was just like, oh, because we haven't done Jonestown yet. I'm kind of That's a big one, you know. That's,
It is
I
a big
mean, we do some pretty gnarly stuff, but you know, when it comes to cults, they
one.
just really get to me. I don't know what it is. Lord
Yeah,
have
I
mercy, I
hear
can't believe you have those. That's crazy.
you.
We have quite a bit of cult stuff, yes.
Can you talk about other cult stuff that you have, or no?
We have some stuff from Heaven's Gate.
Oh my God.
We have
We do have a subway handle recovered from Aum Shinrikyo, the subway sarin attacks from that cult.
Oh,
From
wow.
a survivor, we actually have items from a survivor of that attack as well, who thought it would be a good fit to tell the story.
Yeah, not a well-known one here in America, but I mean, a lot of people haven't even heard about Shinrikyo. That story happened in Tokyo, and basically this, to keep the story very brief, this the leader of this cult convinced a lot of high-ranking people, lawyers and doctors, to join this cult, or whatever you want to call it, this group, and convinced them to turn over their bank account information. In turn, this leader would teach them how to levitate and all these magical things, and eventually they came to the conclusion where, for some reason, they needed to do this mass attack on the public. And they had, I believe it was five, don't quote me on this, but I think it was four or five individuals of their group split up onto different trains of their subway system with sarin gas and nerve gas, and popped the gas and then exited the train on the first stop. And of course, the train pulled away and that gas started seeping out into the subway system, into the subway cars. And it definitely it did injure a bunch of people. A lot of people survived with long-term effects. Some people did pass away, but we have one of the subway handles from that people claim, the cars contained that energy of that day. And we have some personal artifacts from somebody that was aboard at that day that
Oh,
survived. So,
wow. That's
we
intense.
have a lot of stuff like that that you can definitely feel the energy, not haunted by a spirit per se, but definitely can feel the energy of the things that it was around.
Oh, gosh, I can't even imagine what, God. Do you, I mean, you guys, you have to have some kind of ritual where you protect yourselves, I'm assuming. I can't, because I mean, Satori, you've got some kind of gift, don't you?
Both of us together, I would say, when it comes to communicating with the other side. But we do approach protection very differently. Cody was brought up Roman Catholic. That's kind of what he subscribes to. So, holy waters, prayers, blessings, things like that. I'm more spiritual. I believe in more of the crystals and incense and, setting my boundaries and bindings. So, we kind of approach it in two different ways, but we believe it tackles a lot of ground. And if there's people of different faiths, we have them come in because we're not going to pretend to know
Oh,
how these
sure.
other faiths work, and we're going to cover as much ground as we can. Like if they can do a blessing, if they can bind the dark room, we always encourage that as well.
I think that's great. Do you ever slip some black tourmaline into his pockets, before you go any places?
Actually, he has a pouch full of crystals I make
She's,
him carry.
yeah.
Good for you. Good.
She's
Yeah. Oh,
opened me
yeah.
up a little bit. She's opened me up a little bit. I'm wearing Tiger's Eye now. I love Tiger's Eye and
Oh,
Pizza
yeah.
Tiger. She's definitely been teaching me. And on this wrist, I have Saint Michael. So I'm covering both ends of the spectrum here.
Yeah, I work with Archangel Michael frequently because he's my go-to guy when I can't handle something. So
Beautiful.
I actually have
Perfect.
boundaries around my house where I don't nothing negative is allowed to come in, but if they're of the light, okay, just don't wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm fine,
Beautiful.
But yeah, my home is sacred, so I don't, I don't bring that
Exactly.
stuff into my house, you know.
Same way.
So tell me, I saw you had a lot of dolls in there. I saw that some of them were in glass cages.
Yes, so we do have a section of dolls in our museum. We have hundreds of dolls. We're gonna actually, when we open up a physical location, hopefully by the spring, we'll have an entire room just full of dolls alone, because that's one of the
Lord.
most believed haunted objects, whether they all prove the claim or not. But we do have a lot in glass cases. Some of them we do, if we believe some items are darker, we'll bind to cases. But most of the time when we have them in the museum, if we believe it's a person, it's more for their protection, because sometimes people come in and feel like they need to touch things or take things, and we want to make sure that they feel safe as well in their containment. So that's why we have some of them. Some of the items are believed to catch on fire, so we'll have them in glass cases, like airtight cases and things
Good
like that, as
idea.
well, to
My
watch.
gosh. So now you said not all of them are haunted, but you do feel like there are some that do have actual spirits attached to them.
Yes, I definitely believe there's a majority of them that, well, mostly because they've proven their claim in one way or another. We've gotten voices, strange equipment going off, them moving on their own,
Oh,
things
God.
like that on camera. So that's how we really know that it's them with some sort of paranormal activity.
Yeah, so every object that comes into the museum goes through what we call a quarantine period for about 2 weeks. And we all know how to quarantine. It's the same for the objects. They stay in the room by themselves for about 2 weeks with some equipment and some cameras so we can get a baseline. And usually during this period, nothing happens, to be honest with you. And it's very rare that something does happen. We've had objects that have acted up right away, and usually those are the objects that have retained their activity up until this day. They're the probably the most active items we have. But after that period, when they get put into their sections, usually that's when things start to happen. It seems like when they're around other people. I mean, if you look at this like living people, I mean, if you're by yourself in a room, you're not really going to act up. But as soon as you go into a party setting, or a group of people, you're going to start talking. So that's when we get most of the stuff. And we definitely find that the objects will interact with each other. If there's an energy that they don't like, we'll find that whole section will be moved around, or things around the new item will be moved around, and we know right away that whatever the cause is the new object, because before that everything was fine. So then we move things around and try to make peace with everything. So we do our best. We definitely try our best, at least.
So you guys have dolls that move on their own.
We do.
We have a few of them. The
I
most
think, oh.
active doll that moves, there seems to be two of them. One is your regular porcelain type doll,
Oh.
Victorian era doll,
Yeah. She
that
doesn't play nice with others. We've captured
oh.
footage of her picking herself up in the middle of the night. We've captured her when we put her in the doll room. We had to put her on a shelf because when we put her in the doll room, all the other dolls' heads would turn around or their bodies would spin around. So she didn't play nice with others. So we have to set her in her own section. We also have a clown doll that was from a daycare that moves a lot when nobody's around. We'll find her upside down. We'll find her across the room. We'll find, we can't keep her still as
Uh-uh. No, those would be buried on somebody else's property if I had those. Oh my God, no.
well. And that's why we take care of them.
I can't. Yeah, I think I would definitely send something like that to you guys, no doubt. That oh. I hate regular dolls in general, but stuff that has that that's like room full of nightmares.
So what I'm hearing is you'll come to the museum and sit in the doll room. So that's what I'm hearing.
Well, you know what? Have you ever? There actually used to be, it's not open anymore, but there actually used to be a place you could investigate called the Dollhouse. And it was full of hundreds of every kind of doll you could possibly imagine. Now, the owner said every single one of them had a spirit attached to it. I don't think that was true, but there actually was one that did have a demonic spirit attached to it, because we have one of our consultants is a totally legit, awesome psychic medium. And she's like, you probably don't want to sleep in the same room with that one. They didn't have this thing bound at all. They just had it in a box. So we sprinkled holy water all the way around it, salted it, of course, and we were fine the rest of the night. It left us alone. But I did okay in there. I would. Can I have the lights on? Can I have light on?
Maybe we'll give that to you.
You know what? I will take that challenge. I'm a paranormal investigator, so you know,
Hey, it's recorded.
I may cry or run like within
That's
5 minutes,
fine.
but you
That's
know,
fine.
as long as I sit down in it for at least like a minute, that counts, right?
That's it.
Yes.
Okay, then I'm good. We'll try that. And you guys are nowhere near me, though, right? Yeah. No, I'm in Ohio, so you're.
No.
Darn it, you guys are far away from me. What a shame.
Ah,
So,
shucks.
what is your favorite item that you guys have?
Well, for me, one of the ones that I definitely gravitate to is a Mac. So, being a part of the TAPS and working with different individuals contacting us about objects, not everybody follows the same religious beliefs, the same belief system. So, Satori and I, we like to learn a little bit about the primary religions here in the United States. We're not experts by any means, that's for sure. But
Sure.
we like to learn a little bit. So if we go into a situation, we're prepared. And one of the belief systems here in the United States that is still practiced is voodoo. So we wanted to learn about voodoo. So we took a couple trips down to New Orleans to
Oh,
interview
nice.
some people who were practicing this, learn it right from the people directly. And so I walked into this one shop. I had an interview set up with a gentleman, not going down there to do anything with haunted objects at all, but he comes walking out of the back room with this big cardboard box, and inside of the box was six authentic ceremonial masks that he brought over from Africa in the late 90s.
Wow.
And they belong to his ancestors, and he starts taking them out of the box one by one. They all look completely different because they're all handmade. And there's when these masks were being carved, they were carved to represent different gods and deities, so they all look completely different. So he starts taking them out of the box, and then the last mask he takes out, he keeps separated from the other five, and it's wrapped up in this material. And of course, my first question is, why is this mask separated from the other five? How come it's wrapped up in this fabric? And he says, well, when I hold this mask and touch it with my fingers and hands, I get a really strange feeling. I get visions of tribal dancing and visions of these things that I shouldn't be afraid of because, you know, the mask belonged to my ancestors. But for some reason, it really freaks me out.
Wow.
When patrons come into the store, sometimes the store fills up with this campfire smoke smell that nobody can explain. They're seeing shadow people running around the shop, and I'm afraid I'm going to start losing business because people are really running away without buying stuff.
Oh, wow.
So take it back to the museum. I don't want this mask anymore. So we took it back, and that had to be around 2018 or so, 2019. And this was one of those items that acted up right away within that quarantine period. That campfire smoke smell was smelt in the car. We thought right away, being investigators, maybe there's some normal explanation to this. Maybe when the humidity rises or falls, it automatically releases the smell. We have many reports of that in houses, but cigar smoke and things like that that have been ingrained in woodwork, the wood
Sure.
floorboard and things. So we built a chamber to try controlling the humidity and the temperature to raise it and drop it, and we couldn't recreate the smell. And it's happened multiple times at different events that we've done. The museum right now is a traveling exhibition, so it travels different, haunted locations and conventions. We're on
In
the
the spring.
final leg of that right now. And we've been in locations where this mask has been put on display, and the whole area fills up with this campfire smell that nobody can explain, to the point
Wow.
where they start getting nervous that maybe the building's on fire, and everything always checks out. It's always the same campfire smoke smell that we can't explain. Now, since it's been in the museum, we've learned a little bit more about this mask, and it's talked to us in a way, in an accented voice.
Yes, we did
Really?
capture saying good night on multiple occasions. We've also heard other noises. If we put it in a room while objects are not interacting well together, it'll all calm down. Like he likes his peace a certain way.
Oh.
So we thank him for that. Campfire smoke smell is absolutely intense when it's in the museum. I'm trying to think of anything else. Oh, we did find that it is a West African, we believe, with some of the details of it. It could be a death mask. That is the closest thing we could find to a similar mask, which when you passed away, it would be used in ceremony to pass you over to your
Sure.
ancestor. to the god successfully. So it's an interesting object for me. I don't know. I mean, I'm attracted to some of the dolls. We did recently get a hospice teddy bear, a retired hospice teddy bear that I absolutely love.
Oh.
It's such a warm energy to it, though.
Oh.
It's been hugged by thousands of people before they've passed away, and so we're taking care
Oh.
of him. That's been such a happy
Yeah, that's
an
a new
item
one.
for us.
One that definitely gives people chills is this set of rosary beads, and came from Alabama. Real quick story: a mother, a single mother, two young children. The children are at school. The mother's at home trying to do some last minute chores and trying to get things ready before the kids get off the bus. And in walks the kid's grandmother, which wasn't unusual. The daughter's mother, she only lived about 30 minutes away. She would come in time to time just to drop in and see the grandkids. But the odd thing about this day was that it was a Wednesday. And the strange thing about Wednesdays for the grandmother was she would go to church every Wednesday to do her rosary beads and every Sunday to attend regular church service. So for her to walk in on a Wednesday was extremely weird. So she walks in, and right away the daughter's like, "Mom, how come you're here? How come you're not at church today?" And she holds up the rosary bead and says, "I have a headache today. I'm sure God's not going to get mad if I miss one day at church." So they have a laugh, and she says, "Well, I'm trying to do these chores before the kids get off the bus." And she says, "Well, I'll help you out. What do you need help with?" And she says, "Well, the dog needs to be fed and it needs to be let out, and I'll worry about the kid's snack." So the grandmother says, "All right, I'll take care of the dog." So they start chatting. A couple minutes go by, and they hear the school bus coming up the street. So the daughter says, "I'll be right back, Mom. I'm going to go get the kids off the bus." So she walks to the end of the driveway. The kids get off the bus. They get excited because they find out grandma's here. They all start walking back towards the house, and the daughter's cell phone rings, and it's her sister, and she's really frantic and upset, saying, "How come you haven't answered the phone in the past hour? I've had busy signals." And she says, "I haven't been on the phone with anybody. It's the first time it's rang. Is everything all right?" And the sister says, "Well, I'm really sorry to tell you this way, but we found Mom had passed away in her sleep last night."
Oh,
So
God.
she drops her phone because she just had this whole interaction with her. They run inside the house and run into the kitchen where she just had this conversation with her mom, and the mom's no longer there, but the dog has been let outside. The dog bowl is now filled with dog food, and the mother's rosary beads are sitting on the counter.
Oh, my
So,
God, that gives me goosebumps.
yeah, exactly. So how did those rosary beads get there? Well, the daughter sent the rosary beads to the museum to tell this story, to hopefully give some peace to other people who may have experienced the same thing. So a lot of people feel
Wow.
warm energy off of those. Again, we don't believe the mother's spirit's attached to the rosary beads. Could be, because she could visit once in a while, but we believe it's just the energy that is radiating off of all that intention that's been put into these rosary beads over the
Sure.
years. We believe kind of radiates off of it.
Now, do you feel more drawn to the rosary beads because of your religion as opposed to Satori?
Probably, yeah, and I may feel the warmthness a bit more than Satori as well,
Okay.
probably because it relates to me. We found that we have a whole religious section within the museum of items from many different religions, and we find that the claims are pretty similar. This warmth feeling, this feeling of affirmation that whatever you believe in is true, and a lot of people feel this when they come and visit. So I believe the things. The objects that people can relate to, they'll feel more when they're around them, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes total sense. Yeah, I love the fact that, your museum, like, okay, because you hear there's a couple, obviously the Warrens with their occult
Sure.
stuff and everything, and there's another team that goes around. You don't hear about the good things. Like, it's all negative or demonic or don't knock on Annabelle's glass door, she'll kill you, that kind of thing.
Yeah,
You
I hear
know,
you.
I love the fact that you guys have items that can help people in a sense, that they can really relate to and possibly have some kind of life-altering experience just by being in their presence and with that energy. I think that's fantastic.
Well, that's nice that you say that, Mandy, and we really appreciate it. We're just trying to tell the stories that are told to us, and thankfully, we haven't come across, I mean, we do come across negative stories, but we try to reassure the clients when they're telling them that not everything is bad. And usually,
Right.
once you get that education, you learn that the spirit is it's probably just a nice person saying hello,
We're trying to prove to the we're trying to bring the future of the paranormal that teach them that not everything's fearful and evil like the way it's going right now, where everything
Thank
is
you.
thrilling, scary. We're trying to teach them that that's not the case.
Can you guys maybe do a TV show?
Oh, we'll
Nothing
definitely
against ghost hunters, nothing against ghost hunters, but
try.
I would like to see you guys on TV. I think I would watch
Oh,
that
thank
actually.
you so much. Thank
Thank you.
you.
Absolutely. So that was his. Did you tell us your favorite one? Did I, you had a doll,
Yes,
right?
I think one of my favorites, the hospice teddy bear. I think
Yeah.
that's one of my favorite. We also have a pair of children's polio braces and things like that that I feel very
Oh.
emotional energy off of. Things like, I
That's
think the
sad.
emotional things, yeah,
Yeah.
that stuff is because I want to help as much as I can make somebody feel comfortable, you know? So
Oh.
it's very sad energy, but you know, I feel like I can care for it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Oh, you guys have such good hearts. I love that. That's so wonderful.
And conjuring house basement doors, we have those in a
We do have
museum.
those,
We
yeah.
do have some of those.
Really?
We
Oh, God.
do.
I don't know. Okay, that, yeah, that, ooh. Yeah. That is, I just watched a documentary. I think it was on Amazon. Sleepless Unrest, I think is what it's called.
Yes,
Have you guys heard of
okay.
that?
Ryan Murray and Rochelle Stratton and
So
I
you know
think so.
the nail that they found in the crawl space
Yeah.
is in our museum now.
I, well,
Because they started ha so Kendall and Vera started having, mainly Vera, was having a lot of nightmares after they brought the nail home, and
children were feeling like something was around, so we took the nail.
yeah, they donated the nail to the museum, and that's actually in our traveling exhibit right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that was a great documentary. We're good friends with Brian and Rochelle Stratton and Brian Murray,
So they're
and
legit.
they're legit.
I think they're
I
great
think they're pretty good.
investigators.
Yeah, I think they're pretty good.
I enjoyed it, but you know, being a paranormal investigator, I'm just like
Yeah.
faking stuff. I mean, come on.
I hear
You
you.
know, that kind of
I
thing.
hear you.
It's just
Yeah.
where my mind goes. I'm so cynical. I hate it, but you know,
That's the
you
thing with
have to be that
television. That's
way.
the thing with
Yeah.
television, though, because there's just been so much that has been dumped into the paranormal
Yeah.
television genre that has really polluted the water greatly. And now you
Yes.
have to question every single thing that you see. Unless I've always been one of those people that I had to see it to believe it. And
Right.
now some of the stuff that we've experienced, I feel funny telling the stories because sometimes it's just too good to be true, you know, and people won't believe it. But we just are who we are now, and we really don't care if people believe it, so.
Yeah, I because I'm actually one of the tour guides at Bobby Mackey's, and you guys heard of that
Oh.
place?
Oh yeah.
Yes,
Oh, of
yes.
course, yeah. There are no demons there. I'm just gonna throw that out there right now. There are no demons.
Wow.
We do have a couple
Wow.
jerks,
I'm glad that you
but there
said
are no demons.
that.
Oh, you know, that's a problem with places that are kind of like on the international map, is that people believe a lot of the hype that goes around because it gets spread so much. And like a lot of the history of that place isn't accurate. When we came in, we've been doing it for, I think, 8 years now, something like that. And we really did a deep dive into the actual history of the place. And I think the real history is actually better than the crap that they've come up with to throw the hype out there.
That's how we approach the farmhouse. Exactly. Caretaking, because a lot of people that walk through that door, they're terrified and they think everything is going to harm them and that it's demonic. And they're literally shaking. We've had people stay the night in that house and we've seen on cameras they've slept at the door, like sitting up by the door because they want to make sure that if a demon's there, they're gonna get out first. So like we have to keep saying not everything is evil. There's a lot more to the story. There's a lot of history. Like, you know, we believe there's a lot of past owners here, and you know, so it's we have to reassure them every time they come into the building. I can only imagine what you have to do. So
Oh, yeah, it's super fun. And I hate to break people's hearts, but you know, they watch things like Ghost Adventures, and I'm just like, no, not even a third accurate. Sorry. You know, but that's, we could go off into a whole other topic on those guys. We won't, though, because I don't know if you guys know them. So you can if you're in that genre. So keep my mouth shut a little bit on that one. All right, I think this is a pretty good stopping point for our episode. Be sure to tune in next Sunday at 6 p.m. for part two of The Paranormal Couple, where we start talking about the real Conjuring House. Thank you for listening to Paranormal Whispers, a Through the Abyss podcast production.